Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you are watching for the first time or are simply catching up on a message you missed, we are so glad you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. God bless and enjoy the message.
I want to thank all those online watching live. You are a blessed part of our church, and we're glad that you are with us today. I want to thank everybody for your ongoing giving to KCC. You need to know that that's allowing us to be the body and the hands and feet of Jesus. You're welcome to continue to give online. You can continue to text your gift to us. You can also mail it in. And if you need questions to that, you can go to my KCC app with all the info on that. Before I move on today, I'd like for us to go to Scripture. And if you're able, I'm asking you to stand out of respect for God's Word. We're in Luke chapter 12. Even online, if you're at home, I'm asking you to stand. Luke chapter 12. We're going to start at verse 13. Luke 12, starting at verse 13. Hear the word of the Lord. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. The life does not consist of the abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be. Whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God." Let's pray. And I'm asking today, Lord, that the words of my mouth, meditations of our hearts, would be pleasing in your sight. And as the prophet Samuel prayed long ago, we pray now. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And all God's people said, and you can have a seat, and those of you at home can have a seat. I want to give you a couple of notes that will help you to be aware of a couple things happening this next week in the life of KCC. The first is this Friday will be our Friday night prayer night. That's right. It's outdoors, August 28th, 7 p.m., right over in front of the sanctuary, in front of the atrium. We did that last month. It was incredible. We had between 75 and 100 of you show up. It's going to be an incredible time as we pray together. You can bring your own lawn chair. You can social distance and bring your mask and be able to pray with us. I'd love to see how about 200 people out this Friday night as we pray, 7 p.m. here. If it rains, it's obviously rained out. But plan on that in your schedule this Friday, 7 p.m. if you're able. Secondly, we've been finishing up a series called The Battle Is On, and I've been telling you that we want you to be able to go deeper in that. Well, the team has created a class that is going to begin meeting actually next week. Next week, the 30th, right after this service. It's going to be at 11:30, and it's a hybrid, as I've told you last week. So if you don't feel comfortable, you can tune in online. You can go to my KCC app to be a part of that class. But if you want to do it live, on my right, your left, you're able to go to the those doors. It'll be in 112 safe distancing. That's going to be about 4 or 5 weeks, going deeper into spiritual warfare as we looked at The Battle Is On. So just keep that in mind as we are looking at the next couple of weeks. Wanted to make you know and aware of that. So today we're going to begin a new series, and as we look at this new series, we've entitled to the series, Rise Up and Be Counted, for 3 weeks. Rise Up and Be Counted. Well, what is this all about? This series is about us facing the situation in which we find ourselves in. We're in the middle of a cultural revolution. We have crisis after crisis. On top of all of that, this week I read that, oh yeah, by the beginning of November, we're going to get hit by a meteorite. I was like, oh, that's really wonderful. That was encouraging. But you have to read a little further down that it's small enough that even if it hits us, life as we know it will still be as it is. But nonetheless, I was like, can we get some more news? We are in the middle of unprecedented times, and I believe it is our desire as a church to stand up and be our finest hour and to be counted and to allow the love and the glory of Jesus to be able to be engaged. Now, If we're going to truly rise up and be counted and not just hunker in, just think about ourselves, then we are going to have to be more specific of what that looks like. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to challenge you to rise up and be counted as it relates to your talents and your time. And today we're going to look at this one thing that stands in the way of us to rise up and be counted, and that is selfishness. We're all there, are we not? One degree or another, all of us have this tendency towards selfishness. Today, we're going to look at the greatest battle that we all face, and it's the battle of greed. We've all got it. Do you know what greed says? Greed says, I owe it to me. I owe me. You ever been there, done that? I work so hard. I owe this. And you don't think about the consequences, but I owe this to myself. And that battle is inside of all of us. I'm owed a certain lifestyle. I'm owed a certain retirement. I'm owed certain toys and amazing stuff. You see, the statement, if we're going to rise up and to be counted, is that the number one enemy is greed, which is all about us. Greed screams at you and I every day. But what you need to understand is that greed is never, ever satisfied. And we will spend our lives chasing after that which we can never completely feed or fulfill. Richard Foster tells us that when we sin, we must not look only at the sin itself, because it's only one act. We must actually look at the state of being of who we are. Sin shows us our heart, and we need to understand, where are we at with this thing called greed if we're going to rise up and be counted? Everything, greed says the following. The bottom line is this. Every good I have, I deserve. I worked for it. I did it. I earned it. And it is mine. The two things that fuel greed is, it is mine. How many of us remember, even by ourselves, when we were young and with our kids, you don't have to teach kids to make that declaration with their toys, it is mine. But as adults, we've been doing the same thing over and over again. It is mine. The second thing that feeds this thing called greed is fear. Fear of the future. Fear of not having enough. Being focused on what I can do. And what we need to understand as we look at this and understand this is that this thing called greed, as we talked about in spiritual warfare over the last 5 weeks, if we allow it to continue on in our lives, will create a stronghold in us that will make us impotent and unable to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And we will not be able to rise up even if we want to. It's important to note that greed is loving to disguise itself. I've never met a believer who actually declared, I'm greedy. Have you? Never met somebody just say, I am a greedy person. But what it does is it actually hides itself behind virtues that are good. It hides behind, I'm a saver, or I'm a planner, or I'm securing a secure financial future. I'm careful. But let me describe what I believe when I think of this thing called greed that we all struggle with. How does it play out in our lives? The first thing that I would say to you, what does a greedy person look like? Is that they talk about money all the time, typically. Secondly, they're not a cheerful giver. A greedy person is not. And a greedy person is reluctant to share anything that they have. Greediness is somebody that's always just has enough. You ever met those folks? I just have enough. Greedy people create a culture of secrecy, for you don't want you to know what you've been up to. Greedy people won't let you forget what they have done for you. They're reluctant to express gratitude, and they aren't content with what they have, and they will even try to control people with their own resources. Does this description match any of us? I think we all have a tendency towards one of these things if we're going to be honest with ourselves. If we're going to rise up and be counted, we've got to deal with this straight up. And here's what I'm going to do in the short time that I have this morning. I'm going to ask three questions, and I'm going to answer those questions. The first question I'm going to ask us today is this. Why did God give us so much? Why did God give us so much? Would you repeat after me? Say, I am blessed. Say it again. I am blessed. You are blessed. The fact that you are in this parking lot listening to the word of God is that you are a blessed person. Can I get an amen, church? You are blessed than most of the world. Some of you are saying, well, I'm struggling. How can I say that, why God did you give me so much when I'm struggling to make my payment on my house? I'm struggling with my food, etc. Well, let me just let you know, by the fact that you are an American, you've already won the lottery. What you need to understand is that the vast majority of humanity on this planet lives on less than $1 or $2 a day. So let's put it into perspective. I'm not saying that you're not struggling. What I'm saying is that you have been given way more than the vast majority of the people on this planet. Is that because God loves you more? Is it because you're more talented? Is it because you're an American? I think not. What you need to understand, this story that Jesus gave us of this farmer, he never asked the question, why do I have so much? Rather, he asked and started looking at how he could do with what he had, and he was consumed with his stuff. Verse 15 says, be on guard against what? All kinds of greed. Verse 15, be on guard. What's the assumption that Jesus is saying? It's always coming after us. And depending on the culture in which you live, greed is after every one of us, and it wants a stronghold in our lives, never having enough. And it tells us that life is about stuff. Greed says that life equates to stuff, and my happiness is dependent upon it. It is a slippery slope that will never, ever, ever deliver. What I want you to understand is that greed is not a respecter of economic ability. So rich people, yes, can be greedy, but poor people can be just as greedy. It's not about your economic level. It's about the condition of your heart. We never ask why we have so much. What we ask is, why can't I have more? Because fear of the what ifs. How many of us waste our times talking about the what ifs? What will be? Jesus clearly told us, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Can somebody say amen? We fear, if we're really honest today, we fear that God won't or God can't do what he needs to do in our lives. And as a result, we take things into our own hands and we understand that our appetite can never be satisfied. And we see that in verse 18 and 19, the farmer, instead of asking the question, starts to be asking how he can build bigger silos because he's got so much wealth and so much food. Now, when I was in college, I was working on a farm, and I'm a city guy. It was the most hilarious thing you've ever seen. And we were literally building silos. The fact that I survived building a silo is a miracle in and of itself. But the thing that I realized when we were building these silos in this big farm is how much food these silos can actually hold. And Jesus understood when this farmer had silos already full that he was going to tear them down and he was going to build bigger ones. Simply, he was consumed with all of this about how he could be retired and drink and eat and be merry for tomorrow. It's all about him. What you and I need to understand is that when greed takes over, we never look at what we have. We always look at what we don't have. And if you read the Bible often, and we see this story that Jesus gives us, most of the time, we don't associate ourselves with the farmer. But I'm here to tell you today that we are the farmer. Jesus is talking to us, talking to our hearts, and telling us, hey, my friends, why have you have so much? Is it so that you can have, like the farmer said, a great retirement, so that you can have it easy? Or maybe we need to go to the scripture. The scripture declares to us in Genesis chapter 12, I am blessed so that I can bless. In other words, you have all that you have, not because you're better, not because you're better equipped or more talented, but God gave you all that he's given you for one reason. I will bless you so that you can bless the world. That's why you have so much. And until we understand that concept, my friends, we will never rise up and be counted. It will always be about us. We will be building our houses on the sand. And when the storms come, we will fall with a great crash. Let's look. What if this week I have a next step for us from point number one. What if we, as a church, would really practice this? And every single one of us, either online or here in the parking lot, we prayed and said, Lord, give us at least one person this week that we could bless in a creative way. You may say, well, Pastor, I don't have any money to bless anybody. It's not limited to money. What about time? What about listening? What about a kind word? What about service? What if all of us actually took Jesus' words seriously? And we all went out and blessed one person this next week. I dare you. I double dog dare you to do it. We would have God sightings like nobody's business. That's what it means to rise up and be counted. Why was I given so much? So that I could be a blessing. Second question that I have for you today is this. What's the antidote for greed? What's the antidote for greed? Would you repeat after me? Say, generosity. Say it again. Generosity. Generosity is the antidote. But we must understand how it plays out. We must understand first and foremost that nothing is ours. Otherwise, we will never be generous. What are you talking about, Pastor? Yes, your money is not yours. Your job is not yours. Your talent is not yours. Your family is not yours. Your kids are not yours. They've been entrusted to you for a season to launch them. Your grandkids are not yours. Everything, we have a gift, so that you and I don't get too haughty and think, well, I deserve it because I work hard and I go the extra mile. Good for you. But who gave you the breath to breathe? Who gave you the talent to do what you do? Who gave you the opportunities that you have? It's the Father in heaven. And once we understand nothing is ours, then we are moving in the right direction. We live in a culture where bigger is better. We live in a culture where we got to have the newest and the best things. From our devices to our technology to our vehicles to our homes to you name it, the list goes on and on and on. It's even happened in the church. We've declared that a church is only better because it's bigger. That's absurd, my friends. And the farmer, he's doing exactly the same thing. He's hoarding all that he has, and he never thinks about sharing what he has or being generous about it. Why? Because greed has a stronghold in his life. Fear has a stronghold in his life. Everybody understands this. We all understand, the farmer understands that I can do all that I can do. But at the end of the day, it is God that's going to deliver that harvest. Without him, it's simply impossible today. Well, when we look at this thing called greed and generosity, Jesus told us in Matthew 7, do not worry about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink and what you will wear. Look at the birds in the air. They do not store away and reap, but your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not much more valuable than they? Yet we still worry. We're still anxious. We say amen to Jesus' words, but we're still anxious about it. And we're still worrying about it all the time. When are we going to put Jesus' words into effect and say, I'm going to trust you? He even clarified in that passage, and he said, seek first the what? The kingdom and all of his righteousness. And then all these things will be added unto you as well. But don't seek these things first and then bring me into the process. 2 Corinthians 9:7, God says, I love a cheerful giver. Don't give your time, your talent, and your resource because you feel guilted or manipulated. You give it out of the heart that you give. Question, is it hard for you to give money away? Is there strings attached to your gifts? You see, the lesson that Jesus has given us in the farmer is that he made a critical mistake. Yes, he had accumulated everything that life said you should have, but he forgot one thing. He had more resource than he did time on this planet. And after he had spent his entire life in his greed to get more and more and more, then that evening God took his life. Then what was left with his stuff? Somebody else was dealing with it. I can't tell you how many funerals I have done that we no sooner put that body in the grave that the family's starting to bicker over the stuff. It plays itself out over and over and over again. David tells us in 1 Chronicles 29:11, he says, everything in heaven and on earth belongs to the Lord. Can I get an amen, church? Don't feel bad about having stuff, but understand that it is something that God wants to use through your life to be a blessing to other people, to be generous with it. We are only managers to what God has given us for such a short time. The one thing I realize is that the older I get, how quickly time goes by. That is not a cliche, is it? And we asked a critical question. How am I spending my life? Does it really matter? Will they remember me anyways? These are questions we all want to leave a legacy. We want our lives to count. And if we fall in the category of greed, and like the farmer, we will miss it all. So you may ask the question to me, Pastor, so what am I supposed to do with my generosity? What does that look like? Thanks for asking, because I'm going to tell you. How do we deal with generosity? The Bible clearly shares with us. The Old Testament understood in an agricultural culture that God gave you the harvest, right? And then what I want you to do is give the first fruit, the first 10% back to the Lord, specifically to the Levites and to the temple. Does God need that 10%? Absolutely not. The purpose of the tithe, which means 10%, is God is concerned about your heart and my heart. Not about your resource, but about your heart. And do you trust him? Some people will say to me when I tell them that biblical truth, well, Pastor, that's the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? I'm saying, praise the Lord. You want to go there? New Testament. He didn't talk about 10%. He talks about 100%. Nothing is yours. You want to stay in the Old Testament? What do you think? He clearly tells us today, this is about your heart. God does not need your money, but he understands a stronghold called greed is fighting for every single one of our souls. And the way we have the antidote is we continue to give away. And we do it with only 90%, not 100%. I would tell you today, it's crazy how I've counseled people, and by counseling them, they've had financial problems. And it's been rare, as I've counseled people over the years in ministry, that they struggle with money. Only a few struggle and tithe. But unanimously, those who struggle are trying to live off 100% of what they got, give God nothing, and they continually struggle. It doesn't matter how much money you have. What matters is your heart. When I was in seminary, I lived on what they call the 5-day plan because I was too poor to live on the 7-day plan. So that means you ate Monday through Friday, and on Saturday and Sunday, you fended for yourself. And I worked in the dish pit. And working in the dish pit, I got paid, this was 30 years ago, a whopping $50 a month. Woo! And out of that $50 a month, I started right there. And my sister was in ministry with Youth for Christ. And I sent her 10 of the $50 every month while I was in seminary. And I remember feeling sorry for myself one Friday evening. I had run out of my Sam's Club peanut butter and spaghetti, because spaghetti is cheap. And if you don't like ramen noodles, spaghetti is a good second choice. Can I get an amen? And so I had run out of everything, and my money was gone, and I was finishing up dinner working in the dish pit. And I was thinking, man, Lord, I could use that $10 now. And I came down to my little dormitory where I was staying in grad school, and this gentleman who I'd met a day prior had come to visit me, but I was working, and he had the audacity to open up my Bible and underline in Scripture the call of Jeremiah the prophet. And he said, Mick, God has called you in your life. And as I read that, then I turned the page, and he left a $100 bill. And in 1990, $100 is a lot of money. I'll tell you what, I got a lot of peanut butter and spaghetti that weekend. My point is clear. That God is always able to do what we think he cannot do when we honor him, when we don't have much. What you need to understand is that when we are generous against greed, it shows that we trust him. Do you trust him today? We talk about the entire Christian experience, but as soon as you talk about money, people back away and create all the excuses why God can't, why I won't, how I'll do it later. But then you're missing the true beauty of God's blessing on your life. I remember when I was trusting God when I was at Taylor University. I grew up in Indiana. Yet, from a single family, it was a miracle that I was there. And as I was there, I remember we just got enough money to pay for my tuition. And this is 30 plus years ago. And I remember, this will date me. My books total were $100. Now you pay $100 for one book, but it was $100 back then. And I remember calling my mom up, and I was like, Mom, we stepped out, and here I am. I got my tuition paid, but I got to have books, and without books, it's not going to do. We didn't have online back then, etc. And what are we going to do? And she said, well, son, I don't have $100, but I just want you to trust God. I was like, Mom, would you shut with the religious lingo? I need $100. She said, read your Bible, son. Isn't that a great answer for your mother? So this is true. I get off the phone. I'm mad at my mother. I open up the Bible and I'm yelling at God saying, okay, you took me this far. I'm going to really trust you. How in the world am I going to get where I need to go? And I open up my Bible. Nobody touches my Bible. And there's a $100 bill in the Bible. I was like, okay, this trust thing, you know, can somebody say amen to this? You're like all looking at me like, it is actually the truth. This is not a hyperbole. This is the truth. Trusting God, making him priority, being free, declaring who is in control. Is it me or is it God? You see, before I came back from overseas, my wife lived and I have 15 years in what they call faith promise. That means faith support is that we live on the Church of Jesus Christ and those who would donate for us as missionaries. And every single month God provided. Most of us never experienced that kind of faith and that kind of journey. For most of us, as we try to think about being generous, we're four categories. Number one, and the biggest is this, I don't give it all. And I don't want to talk about it. Second, you're a tipper, a tither, or you're a trustee. The tipper is the second biggest group. They typically give cash. They typically don't think about it. And they give it because they don't want to feel guilty. Before they go out and have a $50 meal, they'll give five in the plate. You know what I'm talking about. Tipping God. God doesn't need your tip, by the way. Now, the fact, the crazy thing about the church across America today, with Corona, the tippers have been wiped out. We've lost one third of the church that no longer are engaged with us. And those were either no givers or tippers. So we lost all of those folks. The second group is the tither. That is the people who understand and they give 10%. And I applaud you if you live this way. But here's the problem with that. Tithing is only the minimum. It's only the beginning to trust God. You don't park your brain. You continue to trust God and say, how can I be generous? How can I be blessing? Because then I am blessed when I, Acts says it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Can I get an amen? But the third is what I believe Scripture calls us to be a trustee, which God says to you, I don't care how much, whether you have $10 or whether you have $100,000. It is mine. And trust me with it. All is mine. And I give it to you. And when we start to think that way, we give way beyond the tithe. We begin to trust God and see him do. And the kingdom is funded. We're spontaneous. We don't park our brain. We're always open. That generosity will allow us to rise up and be counted. It's not about your money. It's about your heart. Can I get an amen? That's why we are generous. Generosity frees us from strongholds and allows us to live for things that are eternal. Let me give you the third and final question. And this is what it's all about. How can I be rich in God? Isn't that a great statement? How can I be rich in God? Can somebody repeat after me? Say, be rich in God. Come on, say it again. Be rich in God out there online. Verse 20 and 21, he said, life is the individual that is rich in God. So that begs the question, what does it look like to be rich in God? How are you spending your life? Are you growing in your relationship with him? You see, the farmer lost his life because he was focused on everything that he could see. Look around you, my friends. This beautiful microphone, these beautiful cameras, your beautiful cars, this beautiful building, it's all going to burn. It will not last. It's not forever. And the farmer put all of his faith in this stuff. He's telling us to be rich in things that are going to last forever. There are two things that will last forever, my friends. That is people's souls and the word of God. Can I get an amen? Those two things will last forever. And what you need to understand today is that he's calling us to be rich in this regard. I am convinced when Jesus comes back and we're all standing before the Father, it will not be 30 minutes in heaven that we all realize we lived as paupers on this planet and God wanted us to be rich in him. So what does that look like? Jesus said, richness in God first. Matthew chapter 5 clearly says, give to the one who asks you in private that nobody would see. Secondly, he tells us in Galatians 5, be rich in God by investing in the fruit of the Spirit that will never go bad. Patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control, etc. Go after these things that will never leave you and you will be rich in God. Jesus told us you will be rich in God in Matthew 22 when you love God and you love people. This is what will make you rich. And then you and I are changed little by little. And then we are perspective changes. And we can practice Colossians 3, where we will think on things above and not on earthly things. We get an eternal perspective so that we can have a daily perspective. I'll say that again. We will get an eternal perspective so that we can have a daily perspective. That makes all the difference in the world. We understand when we grow rich in God that we will not put our hope in this world. John tells us in 1 John 2, do not love the world or anything in the world. For the love of the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eye, the boasting of what he has or does comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires will what? Pass away. But the one who does the will of the Father will what? Live forever. I'm about an eternal perspective. Anybody else? I want my life to count. I want to be rich in God. And that will move us to rise up and to be counted, which is the mission of God. And Amani praying in Swahili today for the country of Congo, his homeland, helps us to understand Jesus' words. And he says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. That's when we will rise up. See, for most of us, we only give. We only give out of our surplus. We don't even understand the story of the widow's mite who gave out of sacrifice. When we give out of sacrifice, it's in that moment that God honors us. What does that play out? So I give something up so that I then can serve the kingdom with it. That's when you understand an eternal perspective. And I am calling us today to such a life as a church and as individuals. We as a church corporately will practice this. You're going to hear in the next months how we will rise up and be counted. But it's going to take all of us, every single one of us. We are greater together than we are by ourselves. What we do together will enable us to have our greatest day. You need to understand this. We need to be taught this spiritual truth today. And understand in 2 Timothy 2:2, and as we teach others, who then will teach others to be reliable to all of this. If I'm going to understand what richness in God really is, that is the foundation for me to truly be a blessing. Can I get an amen, church? Now, when you talk about greed and you talk about money, I've been doing this for a long time. It gets deathly silence. But I am here to tell you that I will give an account, Hebrews 13:17, before God. And I can't only give you part of the gospel. I can't only give you part of his teachings. I have to give you all of the teachings. And then you as an adult, before your God, must walk away from this day and then decide, what are you going to do with it? It is your decision from this point forward. So let me review as we conclude. God has blessed us. Can you repeat after me? Say, I am blessed to bless. Say it again. I am blessed to bless. Say, generosity is the antidote for greed. Lastly, say, be rich in God. You will find your purpose. Our next steps is simply this, KCC. If, in fact, you're honestly really listening to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, confess your greed today. Don't let pride get in the way. And each of our stories are different. And each of our narratives have a twist or a turn. But we all must engage in that regard today. Confess your greed before God. And, may I add, a friend, a brother, or a sister. Make it not just spiritual, make it applicable. Second, surrender your stuff. There's a tough one. It's not yours anyways. It's not yours anyways. And here's what I would tell you, just like I told you about forgiveness last week. Surrender is an ongoing choice. So I surrender today, and I got to surrender again tomorrow, and I got to surrender again the next day. Every single day, surrender your stuff. Thirdly, begin the process of giving back to God. Don't wait. Do you trust him? Do you believe that you want to go deeper and be rich in God? Then what I'm saying to you today is the truth. You want the fullness of God? Or do you only want part of it? I want all of God. Anybody else? I don't want to hold anything back. This is one of those issues that we simply miss. And the last thing I would say to you is find a mentor, somebody that can come alongside you, who has understood this generosity and this blessing for a long time, and be able to learn what and how God wants to use your life. I started many, many years ago as a young lad, and I've practiced it regardless of where we've been, and God has always been faithful. We could line you up on the semi-trailer of story after story of those in this crowd that could say the same thing, hallelujah and amen. But unfortunately, the vast majority of us simply do not have not experienced what I'm talking about because you've held on to it. Do this. Let go. Allow God to be who he needs to be in your life. Can I get an amen? I'm going to ask you, whether you're at home or whether you're in the parking lot, would you stand with me? Can everybody stand? I'd like to close us in prayer. Would you just take a moment in the silence before I pray? And can you speak to the Lord before you go off and do your thing, whether you're at home or whether you're here? Just take a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Can you do that for me? Just take a moment before I pray. Lord Jesus, we realize the days before us are incredibly difficult. And we truly want to be the gap and stand in the gap. We want to rise up. Did you hear us, Lord? We want to rise up and we want to be counted. And we do not want greed to get in the way. We do not want selfishness to get in the way. We don't want the lack of faith or trust to get in the way. We truly want to allow you to be in control and to realize, teach us that nothing is ours, and that we truly could be a blessing. Would you help all of those that are watching online or in the parking lot, that you would put on our hearts and our minds those that we could bless this week, and we could see God sightings all over the place in small and in big ways. Please have your way, oh God. We are a church that's committed to do whatever it is you want us to do, even when it's tough. And this is the toughest and has been for years for the church. But Lord, you're stripping us. You're taking things away. You're allowing us to look at things through your perspective, and we say, bring it on. Holy Spirit, have your way in us. We're grateful, and we're thankful this time. I pray this all in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Before you go, let me just say this. I do care about each and every one of you, and that's why I preached what I preached today. And I pray that we continue to grow and be the church we need to be. Amen.